Sunday night, an early season blizzard has just blanketed parts of the Midwest and Plain States with as much as 2 feet of snow. Kathy Sherman maneuvers her 18-wheeler through the gates at the Oscar Mayer plant in Madison, Wisconsin.
My thermometer's saying it's 27 degrees out, so this snow and slush could get really miserable by morning.
She backs her trailer into a parking spot near the loading dock, where it'll be packed with tons of wieners and lunch meats that need to be in Southern California by Thursday night. It won't be easy. The interstate is closed, cars and trucks stranded in Nebraska and eastern Colorado, which bore the brunt of the storm. And that's directly where Kathy Sherman is headed once her trailer is loaded.
I'll tell you a little bit about my background. First of all, I grew up in Kenosha County.
Monday afternoon, Sherman is at Riverview Elementary School in Silver Lake, Wisconsin, telling sixth graders how she got her start as a long-haul trucker.
And then I went to the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and I majored in agricultural journalism. And for 10 years after that, I worked for Farm Journal magazine as their dairy editor. And then after working for Farm Journal for all those years, I just decided to do something totally different, and I went out and bought a truck and trailer and went on the road.
She's been visiting this school for the past 6 or 7 years. She sends the kids postcards from the road, and at least once a year drops by to let them see the truck and to answer questions.
I have two questions for you.
Okay.
How much do you get paid?
How much?
And I forgot what the other one was.
Well, to answer how much you get paid, because I'm an owner-operator, I own my own truck, I get paid on a percentage basis.
She tells them she grosses about $140,000 a year after expenses and before income taxes. It works out to about $55,000.
How old were you when you started to drive?
How old when I started to drive? Oh, dear.
Okay, we'll
figure this one.
She's 5'3" tall with a stocky build and straight, medium-length, rust-blonde hair.
I'm not telling.
She has a weathered face and wears metal-framed glasses and her driving outfit, jeans and a light blue work shirt. Today, she has on the leather sleeve jacket she was awarded for driving 1,000,000 miles without an accident.
No, I have never crashed. Thank goodness, I've never crashed.
Her safety record, along with her school visits and other public appearances on behalf of the trucking industry, and an essay which she reads aloud to the class, are the reasons Kathy Sherman was named Independent Contractor of the Year in 1994. The award earned her a brand new customized sleeper cab, her home for 330 days out of the year.
I'm sitting back in my easy chair, staring out my picture window, just watching the world go by. And what a picture window it is. What a world it is. Sometimes it's going by at 65 miles an hour, sometimes slower. Look at those baby lambs cavorting in the spring grass along the Wasatch Front. Wow, did you see that trout jump in the rippling waters of the Colorado as the summer sun sets? Well, we're on our way to California, just getting started here, leaving Madison. It's a clear night, stars are out, it's about 32 degrees. About 11 o'clock in the evening, Packer game's over, Packers won, we're on our way to California.
She's got her loyal traveling companion with her now, a 12-year-old miniature schnauzer named Winston.
He's been riding with me since he's been 6 weeks, so he's got a couple million miles on him probably.
I didn't think that was a working truck.
Oh yeah, it's a working truck.
Kathy's truck is hard to miss. It's shiny dark blue with big dramatic murals airbrushed on both sides. On one side, a bald eagle soars over turquoise waves at sunset. The other side is the same scene, except under a full moon. It gets a lot of looks and comments from fellow drivers who recognize it from the truck shows Kathy enters, and the 1997 Shell Super Rig calendar, which features her truck for the month of February.
Guy went by on this and yelled at me on the CB radio one night, and I came back to him on the radio, and I said, yeah, and he said, it's a woman, and I said, yeah, and he says, well, when your husband wakes up, tell him he has a nice truck. I mean, I have a nice truck because I want a nice truck, and being a woman, even more, I want a nice truck because I want to be on an equal level or even better than the guys out there.
Kathy Sherman breaks the stereotype in more ways than one. Only about 10% of long-haul truckers are women, and a majority of them drive with their husbands. She hates coffee, does not smoke cigarettes, has no tattoos, no CB handle. And while she likes country music all right, she'd much rather listen to a book on tape.
The Perfect Storm, a true story of men against the sea.
In fact, books on tape are her big weakness.
A soft fall rain slips down through the trees.
In her 16 years on the road, she's collected enough to start a small library.
Beneath them, the ocean swells up against the black pilings and sucks back down to the barnacles.
Doug, is that you and the miller over there?
Just outside Rockford, Illinois, Kathy spots a familiar truck parked by the side of the interstate.
Doug.
It is Doug?
Yeah, it is.
Come on, sleepyhead.
With more trucks driving at night and more RVs on the road, parking has become a commodity at rest areas and truck stops all over the country. So oftentimes, trucks will park on the edge of freeway entrances or exit ramps, or in Doug's case, on the side of a toll plaza.
Were you snoozing?
Yeah, I was.
Come on, I'll run Elisa at Alyssa with you.
Truckers like to run together, one behind the other, so they can chat on the CB radio. It relieves boredom and helps them stay awake.
Where are you going?
California.
Oh, giddy, 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 giddy.
Doug is hauling a load of Miller beer from Milwaukee to Lincoln, Nebraska. They drive and talk into the night about the road conditions ahead.
Well, as far as I know, it was still closed up there when I left yesterday.
About football.
They were winning like 18-15 in the fourth quarter.
Fuel prices.
You know, them guys just started lowering their prices down not too long ago.
And the stock market.
Dropped 550 points today.
The later it gets, and the farther they go, the longer the silences in the conversation.
Well, that is not a good deal right now.
Several minutes go by with just the crackle of interference from another CB channel, before the chatter resumes as if there had been no pause at all.
Are we supposed to hang on to our stuff, or should we start selling?
Well, I think if we all start selling, it'll drop a lot more than 550 points.
Tuesday morning. Kathy drove for about 6 hours last night before pulling off and sleeping for a while at a truck stop on I-80 west of Des Moines, where a television blares the good news about the stock market.
A speedy recovery appears to be underway on Wall Street.
And the weather.
It is beginning to warm up, though, back through the plains, and that trend will continue over the next couple of days.
Truck stops are one place where Sherman is reminded that trucking is still a very male world. Up until recently, showers could be found in only the men's bathrooms. And still, says Sherman, some waitresses won't serve a woman trucker right away, thinking she's waiting for her husband or boyfriend.
You want wine, ice cream, or a sundae?
There have been some improvements at truck stops.
When I first started trucking, there was a lot of pretty greasy, grimy kind of places to eat in, but now the food is... Yeah, it's getting better and better all the time. A lot more quality food.
And we have all-you-can-eat buffet, $5.99.
In recent years, it wasn't uncommon to see female prostitutes, known as lot lizards, working their trade at places like this. That's changed too, as truck stops have begun to cater to the general traveling public.
What I regret about truck stops nowadays is that they've become quote-unquote travel centers. So not only do they try and attract trucks, but they also try and attract RV units and cars. And a lot of times these people are filling up the restaurant and I'm in a hurry, I'm on a schedule, and there's no seats to be had in the restaurant. You have to wait. And, you know, it makes it more difficult. When it was simply a truck stop and you were just around trucks, you could get in and out a lot easier.
Okay, would there be anything else?
I think so.
Okay, thank you.
Back on the road, Kathy has her cruise control set to 65 miles an hour as she rolls past frozen farmland, dusted by the recent snow. She hopes to get close to Denver, about 700 miles away, by the time she stops tonight. Under federal regulations, truckers are allowed to drive 10 hours straight. Then they have to stop and rest for at least 8 hours. A few years ago, there were a rash of media reports about deadly accidents caused by trucker fatigue. Drivers would falsify their logbooks, it was reported, so they could keep going beyond the 10-hour limit. One report, called Killer Trucks, was broadcast on NBC's Dateline after a trucker who fell asleep at the wheel killed a carload of people.
I was at a school the very next day after that Dateline broadcast, and here I had a little fourth grader come up to me and ask me how many logbooks I had, and you know, that I kept. Do you have more than one logbook? And I'm like, wow. If a fourth grader can come to those conclusions after listening to a program like that, what did the adults get out of it? That was my thought, and how seriously it hurt all the rest of us out here. And certainly I will be the first one to admit there are some bad truck drivers out here, but 99% of the drivers are good, conscientious people who do not want to get in an accident any more than you do.
Since the mid-80s, there has been an overall decrease in the number of truck-related fatalities. It's attributed to an increase in roadside safety inspections, mandatory drug and alcohol testing, stricter regulations on obtaining licenses, and finally, better and safer trucks and highways. Still, studies show that driver fatigue continues to be a problem, and it may be because the federal hours of service rule, 10 hours on and 8 hours off, is outdated. Established during the Depression and currently under review, the rule requires drivers to operate on an 18-hour day, which studies are now showing throws off the body's circadian rhythm, which is based on a 24-hour clock.
What if I'm not tired after 10 hours of driving? I mean, I can't sleep on command. I have to be able to sleep when I'm tired and when I feel like I need to sleep. And there'll be times when I'll be going down the road and I've driven 5 hours and I need to go to bed, and I'll go to bed.
She's coming up on the Nebraska state line in a truck inspection station. She's pretty certain her rig is under the legal weight limit of 40 tons. But just to be safe, she pays the $7 to weigh in at a commercial scale a few hundred yards ahead.
A weigh or a re-weigh?
First weigh.
The scale confirms she's underweight, but a little heavy on the front axle. So she hops out and turns a hand crank a few times, shifting some weight to the rear axle. At the government weigh station, she rolls across the scale and gets the green light to proceed back on the highway. In the trucking industry today, good drivers are in demand. And because of that, recruiting has become an important part of the business. In this truck stop lobby in Denver, a recruiter for the trucking company J.B. Hunt hands out cassette tapes and brochures touting better wages and benefits. The recruiter says of the several hundred applications she's taken, only a handful have been from women. But today, a young woman wearing a Mack truck baseball cap stops by.
I'm just putting out some feelers right now, checking it out.
She's 23 and currently drives a truck for a local excavation company. So she knows some of the challenges.
Yeah, well, you don't always get respect. I mean, you have to prove it every day. You have to drive better than all the guys and show them that you can do your job just as well as they can.
The guys sitting with Kathy in the restaurant haven't yet reached a consensus about women drivers.
Because, you know, really still, this is a man's job, but we just let the women, you know, we let them do it. What with it, certain parts of it. It's just...
as much as man I are.
Yeah, but there's still some things that really gets next to a woman, you know, and I really don't like to see women doing a lot of things that men do.
Wednesday afternoon, Kathy is winding up snow-covered passes and down into deep canyons on I-70 in the Rocky Mountains. Despite the earlier reports, the roads are in good shape. Still, truckers have to be extremely careful here.
Got a whole trailer load of wieners wants to push me down the hill.
2 days earlier, a Martin transport driver lost his brakes on this grade coming down from Vail Pass and had to use the escape ramp, the emergency gravel exit for runaway trucks.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, how about yourself?
It's fine.
A few miles later, when Kathy stops at a safety inspection station for a routine permit check, she meets up with that driver whose brakes went out.
Oh, you're the one that was having all that trouble, huh?
His name is Andy McBriar, and he's lucky to be alive.
Okay, I was coming down off the Vail, and the air dryer went out. I had hot brakes to begin with, and you know, it dumped all my air, brakes locked, you know, started locking up, but it was so hot they wouldn't hold, so I didn't have no brakes. So I didn't have no choice but take the ramp to get stopped.
Escape ramp.
Yep, escape ramp. First time. Ever, I hope it's the last time.
Thursday morning, Green River, Utah. Kathy is up before sunrise. She has a full day of driving ahead.
Off to the races.
Oscar Meyer is expecting her to be at their Southern California Distribution Center, about 600 miles away, by 6 p.m.
We're on our way to Ontario. Last leg of the trip. Sunrise just happened. It's a beautiful day here in Utah, almost a cloudless sky. We're going to be running through the painted desert of Utah, all the red rocks and cliffs. Just gorgeous scenery, one of my favorite spots in the whole United States.
Kathy Sherman likes to say her neighborhood is 3,000 miles long. And at a truck stop in St. George, Utah, somewhere around the 2,500 mile mark, she spots another neighbor. Suzanne drives with her husband out of Skokie, Illinois. She's in her 50s and gave up a career as an advertising executive to drive a truck.
And I hung up my pantyhose and never looked back.
Their truck is seafoam green with colorful ocean shells and exotic fish airbrushed on the side. Like Kathy's, it's a show truck, and they compete in truck shows all over the country.
We did Palmdale.
Did you? Yeah. How was that?
Good. We took our class in Best of Show.
Oh, did you really? I got Best of Show at Wapaka.
Did you?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes, that was a good deal. That's a good deal.
All right, we'll let you go.
Okay, yeah, we got to get going.
All right.
I got to be down there for 6, so I got to go.
6 o'clock tonight? All right.
So you guys have a safe one.
All right, have a safe one.
Good to see ya. Everybody thinks it's such a lonely job because you're out here driving all by yourself, but I'm constantly running into people that I know on the highway, or for all that matters, running into people that I don't know, and you get talking to them on the CB, and eventually they might become good friends as you go on down the road.
As a matter of fact, Kathy met her boyfriend, Barry, at a truck stop a couple years ago. He's a company driver for Martin, and they rendezvous whenever and wherever possible.
We usually run into each other almost every week. And sometimes, like last winter when I was running up through the Northwest, I think we had 3 weeks where we were together every day, running together.
Barry left Arkansas, bound for Stockton, California, with a load of frozen chicken, about the same time Kathy left Madison with her hot dogs and lunch meat. He's been paralleling her on I-40, the southern route, most of the way. They've been hoping to cross paths this afternoon in Barstow, California. But by the time she gets there, Barry has left. The only thing she finds in Barstow is a huge traffic jam on Interstate 15.
Yeah, 10-4, yeah, you got probably about a 30-minute holdup back there.
She has a reputation for promptness, but this delay could make Kathy late for her 6 o'clock appointment at Oscar Meyer.
Hey, little lady.
Fortunately, a tanker truck just ahead is from Barstow and knows the detour.
Yeah, just follow me. That's the way I'm going to take it.
He leads her off I-15 and onto Route 66, the old interstate, and they breeze around the traffic jam.
We're getting on Route 66.
For sure. I'll take this any day over standing in line.
Thursday, 5:40 p.m.
Oscar Meyer.
Kathy Sherman pulls up at the Oscar Meyer Distribution Center with 20 minutes to spare.
We made it. Just about exactly 2,000 miles from Madison to here. Ontario, California.
She backs her trailer into the loading dock where the 20 tons of wieners and bologna and olive loaf will be emptied out. She'll spend the weekend here in Southern California, resting up, doing paperwork, and writing postcards to her sixth graders back in Silver Lake, Wisconsin. On Monday, she'll pick up 20 tons of navel oranges and head east. Then she'll turn around and do it all over again. I'm Dan Collison.
Days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Now let's fiddle around.
Old, but that don't mean she's slow.
There's a flame.